Today's reading is an excerpt from Howard Thurman's book, Jesus and the Disinherited. Fear is one of the persistent hounds of hell that dog the footsteps of the poor, the disposed, the disinherited. There is nothing new or recent about fear. It is doubtless as old as the life of people on this planet. Fears are of many kinds: fear of objects, fear of people, fear of the future, fear of nature, fear of the unknown, fear of old age, fear of disease, and fear of life itself. Then there is fear which has to do with aspects of experience and detailed states of mind. Our homes, institutions, prisons, churches are crowded with people who are hounded by day and harrowed by night for some fear that lurks ready to spring into action as soon as one is alone, or as soon as the lights go out, or as soon as someone's social defenses are temporarily removed. The ever-present fear that besets the vast poor, the economically and socially insecure, is a fear of still a different breed. It is a climate closing in. It is like the fog in San Francisco or in London. It is nowhere in particular, yet everywhere. It is in a mood which one carries around with themselves, distilled from the acrid conflicts which they are surrounded by day after day. It has its roots deep in the heart of relations between the weak and the strong, between the controllers of the environment and those who are controlled by it. So I want you to take a moment and think back on that story of the caravan that I shared earlier. Remember the way that the people got so spread out, they didn't remember that they were part of the same group? What if we think about this in a more global context? Imagine that the earth represents that caravan, and all us people spread out are traveling on the same journey. We just don't seem to remember that. We don't remember that we all came from the same source and are headed to the same destination. We've let our divisions of class and gender, race and religion, language and sexual orientation define us to such a degree that when we look out into the world, there seems to exist only otherness. The distance between us seems so great that at times we forget that we all set out on this journey together. When this happens, a sense of fear begins to spread. Suddenly, groups begin to act only in their own interest, forgetting that our fates are connected. Once we start down this path of otherness, where does it stop? We end up getting swept up in the dynamic of us against them until our only interest becomes protecting what our group has out of fear that someone else might take it. For examples of this dynamic played out, we can look through history. We can find countless injustices committed, wars, massacres, and oppressions perpetrated simply to advance the cause of one group above the other. But we need not look back through history to notice this same dynamic unfolding today. Instead, we need only turn our attention to the current crisis that has displaced millions of people from Syria. Rather than recognizing that these are people in need of help, many have chosen to turn it into a polarized issue. Recently, the country of Hungary has decided that they are going to forego their EU requirement to process these refugees and instead have decided to build a wall along their border with Serbia, with talks of constructing a wall along the Hungarian border with Romania next. The wall that is currently in place between Serbia stretches just over 100 miles and is constructed of razor wire. Since its completion this last September, tens of thousands of asylum seekers have been trapped on the far side of this wall, forced to live in squalid tents, in camps that stretch on for miles. Personally, I find this whole situation to be sadly ironic, given that Hungary faced their own refugee crisis after a failed revolution against the Soviets back in 1956, a revolution that both of my grandparents on my father's side of my family lived through, a revolution that forced them, along with tens of thousands of other Hungarian nationals, to come to the United States. Still, today, Hungary has decided to close their borders, and the refugees who are seeking safety have chosen other options. Some have decided to forego passage by land into the EU and instead risk the voyage across the sea to countries like Italy and Greece. Loaded onto rickety rafts and boats, these people set out. Just over 3,000 lives have been lost to date by people who have been forced into this option. But still, to many, the risk of this voyage is worth it. This is but one example we can find where fear has caused a perpetuation of this pattern of otherness. A pattern that has caused people to wall themselves off rather than embrace their fellow travelers. Here in our own country, there is a proposal being floated by some about a wall along the U.S.-Mexico border. A proposal that at its heart is about preserving the privileges of some while keeping others in a place of marginalization. Instead of investing in the welfare of our neighbors, it would simply be better to pretend that they don't exist, to just ignore the current situation and claim self-defense as the reason. Then what? What happens next? Even if we build this wall, it seems to me that it would only serve to increase the suffering of children and families seeking to escape the violence of drug cartels in Mexico and Central and South America, or others who are simply seeking to come to the U.S. to better their economic opportunities. And even if somehow we could manage to build this wall and close ourselves off, to shut out the world, what's stopping us from turning on each other next? What good are such divisions of people if they only serve to cut us off from one another, slowly isolating us into smaller and smaller groups until we find that we are all alone? Wouldn't it be better if we lived in a world that celebrates our diversity, while at the same time recognizing our shared humanity? In both of these situations, we can see how the fear of one group has caused actions that only seem to separate us further, causing hostilities to grow, causing the tension between factions to increase, causing fear to spread. Surely, this is not the sort of world we want to live in. A planet where people are only concerned about their own group's immediate needs. An existence where we are so spread out that the suffering of others seems to have little impact on our own lives here. So, if we think back again to that story of the caravan, of the group of people who started out all together, traveling, and then eventually becoming so spread out, they didn't realize they were the same group. Think about that, and think about the implication if we apply this story to our community here, to our community here at the Unitarian Universalist Church of Berkeley. Are we a group that is so spread out that the people in the lead look back on the distant horizon and ask, who is that group back there? Or that the people in the back look forward and say, surely that must be another group ahead of us? Have we started guarding ourselves, choosing to limit ourselves to our known comforts, and as a result, limited our opportunity to come together, to grow and overcome new challenges? Since I started here at this church, I've been slightly surprised at the number of times I've heard a member say something about not having any contact with another member of this church, despite the fact that both members have been in attendance for years, or that someone avoids someone else because of something that happened long ago. I'm not here today to name names or call anyone out. We all have moments like this. I know I do in my own life. And in the short term, perhaps this sort of dynamic has little effect. But in time, as the church continues to change and grow, we end up being so spread out that it seems as if we are not in this together. We end up constructing walls between us and become more interested in an experience of church that is tailored to our needs and comfort, rather than being involved in a community that shares in a larger mission of service. When we let this dynamic continue in our community, we are not doing anyone any favors. This is something I have recently come to understand. To understand that when we shy away from each other, it only serves to weaken our effectiveness. But when we learn to disagree and still keep moving forward together as one strong body, then we are truly strong. Then anything we can dream of becomes possible. We forget that part of the reason that we come together in this community is to experience discomfort and to learn to overcome it. After all, isn't that the spirit that we covenant together? To build a religious community guided by love and sustained by respectful relationships. Believing that building healthy relationships is a spiritual practice, we aim to listen appreciatively, speak with care, express gratitude, honor our differences, and assume good intentions. We endeavor to communicate directly, honestly, and compassionately, particularly when we are in conflict. When we hurt one another, we will try to forgive, make amends, and reconnect in a spirit of love. In celebration of our common purpose that unites us, we will do our best to abide by this covenant. This is the relationship that binds us together, the agreement that defines who we are as a community, the covenant that is affirmed by everyone who enters into membership in this church. This agreement requires that we actively seek to engage one another, to not let ourselves become so spread out, but rather to acknowledge our differences, yet still in acknowledging these differences, seek after common ground. There should be no question among the members of this community as to what group we are part of or to what purpose this group serves. All the things we do as a community should be united by a common cause, a common vision. The things that we are passionate about should be brought into harmony with the whole. Not experienced in isolation, in such a way that we end up getting so spread out that we forget we all set out together. A counselor that I was seeing several years ago once told me that when it comes to a relationship, it takes approximately 10 positive interactions to make up for just one negative interaction. If we accept this premise, then it seems that we need to find a way to push through our initial discomfort, to foster those positive interactions between individuals, the type of interactions that are necessary if we truly hope to live into our covenant. Through learning to practice this process with each other, and learning to carry it beyond this community, we will be able to start disassembling the walls that divide us. Now, I don't want to be taken today to mean that there aren't amazing things about this community, that there aren't amazing things that bring us together. That wouldn't be a fair assessment. But I do believe that in learning to live more fully into our covenant as a community, in learning to be more united in our purpose together, we will live into a fuller portion of our potential. The world is in need of a transformational force, And this force starts with us, with each individual slowly reaching out, pouring themselves into a cause that is larger than the self. It is through coming together with a shared vision and purpose of unity that we are able to overcome our greatest obstacles, able to conquer our greatest fears. The way we choose to relate to one another in our interpersonal lives affects the way we choose to engage with the larger world. It starts with us as individuals, slowly rippling out into the world, building into a wave with such momentum that others can't help but be swept up in its embracing force, drawing us together with a force that's greater than gravity, drawing us together with a force of love. If we want to live in a world where things come down simply to survival of the fittest, we only need to continue on with the way things are, letting our fear and discomfort slowly drive us apart until we are left all alone. But I don't think that's what any of us here wants. As Unitarian Universalists, we are called into a sense of openness, not to build walls around ourselves because we are bad at dealing with discomfort of the world. Our churches are meant to be places of deep engagement, where we slowly but surely work to transform ourselves, our community, and the world. So, can we draw together as one group and reach a point where there is no need for us to look back on that horizon, only to realize that our group has become so spread out that we don't realize we are the same group? That can we become a people who are so interconnected that as soon as one of us starts to lag behind or charge too quickly ahead, we take notice. We take notice that we have started to spread out. Can we move as one tight-knit group, navigating the challenges and obstacles of life, embracing our fellow travelers rather than allowing the walls to keep us apart? For this to happen, for this transformation to become a reality, we need to find a way to share those things that we are passionate about with each other and learn how we can bring these individual passions together to serve a single mission. Our trust in each other needs to be greater than our fear. The world is in need of a truly transformational force. And it's my belief that when communities like this truly come together and live into their covenantal relationship, there will be no stopping us. The world will be transformed by the power of people coming together. So, some of you may have noticed that here at UUCB, we have recently taken down one wall. In our atrium, that is. And if you are willing to take a little time out of your otherwise busy life, we would love to have you join us after the service as we process out of the sanctuary and out onto the new terrace to celebrate just a small taste of what is possible when we set out with a dream, a vision, and unite ourselves behind that mission. After the dedication of this terrace, we'll be celebrating our stewardship campaign luncheon. This is a free lunch, so I really hope you all stay for that. But if you do stay, I want to encourage you each to try something. Today, when you sit down at your table to eat, look around. Find someone new. Find someone that you haven't connected with in a while. Maybe someone who has hurt you. I want you to reach out to that person. Reach out and start to draw this community together. It's easy to let our fear, our uncertainty, or even past experiences come between us. But if we do this, we'll end up spread out like that caravan and not recognize that we all started this journey together. My hope that is in practicing this sort of coming together here in this community, we will be able to carry it beyond this church and become a place where that truly works toward a more just and equal world for all. We get better at things through practicing. So why not start practicing together today? May it be so.